We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you: life and religious liberty. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. And a lot going on. Wow. It is Open Line Friday. It is also September the 1st. Now, in Memphis, Tennessee, our prefix for our phones here, 901. So today is 901 day here in West Tennessee, and we have lots of different celebrations around the city. This is the time where we don't mind the celebratory gunfire. So, and normally, I think even the criminals take the day off, so nobody's going to get carjacked today, fingers crossed. Today is also Open Line Friday. And here's what that means. You know, a lot of times during the week, someone will call in and they'll want to weigh in on a topic. And if it's not the topic I'm talking about, you know, we don't like to veer off. We don't like to go off on a tangent. So we encourage you to hold those conversations until Friday, when we have Open Line Friday. And then you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Ben Dieter standing by to take your calls right now at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I want to start off with a story about the big guy, Joe Biden, who now we know plans to mark 9/11 by being in Alaska. Well, nothing happened in Alaska on 9/11. So basically, Joe Biden is ditching the anniversary of the Muslim terrorist attacks by being in the state of Alaska. This is going to be the first time a president of the United States has memorialized 9/11 at a location other than the White House or in Pennsylvania or the Pentagon. And it's quite frankly not surprising. And it is somewhat shameful that the president is doing this, but again, not surprising. And I want to explain why. So right after the terrorist attacks, and many of the younger members of our audience, they don't remember what it was like during that time. I was actually on my way to the airport. I was flying to Waco, Texas, and I was covering a speech at Baylor University by Janet Reno. And Janet, it had caused a lot of controversy. At the time, Baylor was a pretty conservative school, a Baptist school, and there was a lot of outrage surrounding Janet Reno speaking there, not just because of her politics, but also because of what happened at Waco with the murders and the deaths of the people in the Branch Davidian compound. So there was a lot of controversy. They were sending me down there, and I was on Interstate 65 heading to the airport in Nashville when the first word of the towers being hit came on through the radio. And of course, at that point, and I know this is hard for Dylan and Ben, I'm sure this is hard for you to comprehend, but we didn't have Facebook back then. We didn't have Twitter. We didn't have the social media, and most everybody did not have some sort of a cell phone. I mean, maybe you had beepers. Some people had the Blackberries, but a lot of people just did not have. We did not have the technology that we have today where everybody is connected. And if there's a shooting in Kalamazoo, everybody's going to know about it within 30 seconds. So there was just a lot of confusion. I remember veering off the interstate, and I was just trying to find a place that had a TV. And I pulled into the parking lot of a YMCA, and jumped out of the car, ran in, and the lobby was just literally filled with people, some of whom had gotten off their the treadmills and were standing around and were looking at the screens. They had TVs in the lobby. And it was at about that time that the second plane attack happened at the World Trade Center. It was one of those moments that is literally seared into the conscience of the nation. We all remember what we were doing on those days. We know where we were. We remember how we felt. And there was quite frankly a sense of horror in that moment, when people just did not know what was going to happen next, and people were terrified. I think all of us were to some extent. And then when the towers fell, the horror turned into anger. We remember that day. But I also remember a few days later when the media announced that they would stop showing the images of the planes flying into the buildings and then the explosions and the towers falling. They said, no, we don't want to carry those images. It's too hard for people. They don't want to see that over and over and over again. So we're not going to air that kind of stuff anymore. We're not going to do that. And a lot of people didn't understand what was really going on. You see, it was at that moment that the narrative of what happened on that day changed. And they were beginning to craft something else. And it took a long time. But almost immediately, there was a righteous anger directed at the radical Muslims who waged jihad on American soil in the name of their religion. And I know that's really upsetting for a lot of people to hear, but on this program, we deal in facts. We deal with the truth. And the truth is that Muslims waged jihad on this country in the name of the religion of peace. It really is that simple. And I, to this day, I've always wondered why because again, we're talking about a group of men who did this. Not every Muslim did this, but I don't recall tens of thousands of American Muslims marching in the streets to condemn what happened on that day. Maybe it did. And if it did, give me a call. Direct me to the stories, the photographs, and the video, and we will certainly share that. But I certainly didn't see that happening. Nevertheless, we believe that it was a group of radical Muslims who did that. But the media didn't want you to know that. See, the media wanted you to move beyond that. As a matter of fact, almost immediately, the Muslims became the true victims of this, right? So the attention stopped being on the people that lost their lives, and it started being on the Muslim faith, because that's what propelled these men to do what they did on that day. And so they had to change the narrative. And they have been very successful at doing that. Just step back and think about it for a moment. Maybe one, two movies that have actually been produced about 9/11, and most of those movies have not actually been about the events of that day. Isn't that interesting? I mean, with Pearl Harbor, how many stories about Pearl Harbor and movies and TV shows? You don't see that about 9/11. Which was the worst attack on our nation's homeland. You don't see anything about it, right? So am I surprised that Joe Biden has decided to move on? No, not at all, because it was Barack Hussein Obama who said, we have got to move on, and they wanted to scale down the memorial moments and the events of that day. I was there 2 days after the attacks. And the atrocities I saw, I will never forget. The smells, I will never forget. I was there at Ground Zero, at the pit. I walked among the firefighters and the rescue teams. I was there. I was there when they broke ground on the new Freedom Tower. I literally went up to the very top of the Freedom Tower in a rickety elevator as it was topped out back when I was at Fox News Channel. I was there, saw it. Firsthand. So there's this something I do every time 9/11 rolls around, is that I've archived a lot of the footage of that day, and I will literally watch the live coverage as it happened. And I do that because I don't want to forget. We can't forget what happened on that day. And it's a big deal when the president of the United States says, you know what, I got to go to Alaska. There's really no reason for me to be at the Pentagon. There's no reason for me to be in New York City. No reason to be in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. I don't need to be there. When you look at the Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, it's a pretty nefarious thing they are doing. They are erasing our history. And that's what they want to do with 9/11. They've erased what happened in the 1860s when Republicans waged a fierce attempt to save the nation from civil war. You don't know anything about that, do you? They've erased all of the statues and the monuments. You see, it's our history. It's good history. It's bad history. But it's our history. It's who we are. It's what makes us. We are who we are today because of what happened on 9/11 in 2001. You have to walk through a TSA checkpoint. That stranger who is patting you down and feeling you up and taking you to second base without your permission, that's because of what happened on that day. So much changed in this country. Freedoms we gave up. By the way, under a Republican president and something called the Patriot Act, which was incredibly unpatriotic, we surrendered our freedoms and some of our constitutional rights because we didn't want to be blown up in a jetliner. We did all that, but they want us to forget about it. And I say we can't forget about it. And here's the reason why. Because something else happened on that day. Something else happened. And they ought to be talking about this in the schoolhouse on 9/11. You see, that something else that happened was on another jetliner. When those passengers figured out what was going on, they decided to fight back. And you know how they did it? They're on that jetliner, and they're clustered together in their seats on that plane, Flight 93. And they cast ballots. They voted. Can you imagine any other people in the world that would vote on what to do? And you know what? In that moment, you had Republicans and you had Democrats and gay people and straight people and black people and white people. And when they learned what their fate was about to be, they knew that the towers had fallen. They knew the Pentagon was burning. And they knew what was about to happen to them. And they decided to fight back. They ended up paying the ultimate sacrifice. They gave their lives so that others might be able to live. We never knew the final destination. Some said it was the White House. Some said it was the Capitol building. But we do know this. They made the ultimate sacrifice that day. There is no greater love. That's what they say. Such courage, noble valor. And the Democrats don't want your kids to know that story. The Democrats don't want you to learn about the heroes of that day. They don't want you to know that in this country, we really, in our hearts, are not divided. That when push comes to shove, we're going to set aside our political differences and we're going to fight for the common good. We're going to fight for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the Democrats, they don't want you to know that. They don't want you to believe that. They want you to believe that we just fight like cats and dogs all the time, and that's not who we are. And that's the story we got to remember. And that's the story we've got to share with our children and our children's children. And they must learn of the great evil of that day. But they also have to remember the great good of that day. We must never forget. All right, we got to take a break. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Todd Starnes here with my friend Elizabeth from Calitrin. And some bad news, Elizabeth. Went on vacation, hit the buffet a bit too hard. Am I doomed?
Well, you know, the great thing about Calitrin is that you don't have to really do much in terms of diet or exercise. You know, you're just rebuilding that lean muscle tissue. So it's revving up your metabolism naturally. So if you take one step forward, two steps back, that's totally okay as long as you keep moving forward with it. And then over time, you're going to notice that the cravings are less. You're overall just feeling better. You've got more energy throughout your day, even less joint pain, so you're able to move more. So it really is so much more than just a regular diet product. And if you are interested in the science behind how it works, you can go on our website, toploss.com, and check it out on there. All the information is on our website. That's toploss.com. Or you can call us with questions. Our number's toll-free, 1-833-TOP-LAW.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you. And folks, be sure to use the promo code Todd. That's promo code Todd. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Happy to have you with us today. Let's go right to the phones, 844-747-8868. Pastor Bob joins us from North Carolina, the talk station. Hi, Pastor. What's on your mind today?
Well, I agree with you about everything you have said about 9/11. I was pastoring in Maryland the Sunday after that. It was standing room only in our church. And Psalm 91 was quoted daily. This is not the United States I grew up in, and sad to say, we have another type of 9/11 that's trying to destroy our nation. We need to pray more for 2024, and we need some righteous leadership to rid this nation of the present corruption.
Pastor, I'm curious, when 9/11 happened, did you notice a surge in church membership or church attendance?
It did, but it's slacked off, sad to say, fairly quickly. We had another couple bring a baby into our church, and the hospital said, you can let the baby stay here, or you can take it home. Wednesday, it's going to die. It was brand new. And the next Sunday, the church was packed, and that baby came back. And you know what? That baby, I heard about that baby until it was 18 years old. But about the second or third week, I never saw that child again in church. People only seem to act what's going on right this minute. And they need to start acting right now. And I've said time and time again, if the church would ever get together, it could rule this nation. But the Baptists don't want to sit next to the Methodists. And, you know, it's just, I don't know why. We're not competitors. We're both serving. All of us are serving the same God.
Well, so, one of the things that's just bothered me about this is the commander-in-chief is MIA. He's supposed to be in Washington, D.C. or New York City or Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But the president of the United States needs to be at those ceremonies. And I know that we are, you know, two decades removed, but we just cannot ever forget what happened on that day. And it angers me that there is an effort afoot to do that. And quite frankly, some in the media now want to blame us that it's our fault that 9/11 happened. And I find that quite offensive. Pastor Bob, appreciate that call and thank you for listening. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Well, folks, I've got to tell you about our good friends over at MyPillow, Mike Lindell, now celebrating 20 years in business, over 80 million MyPillows sold. And Mike wants to thank the listeners of our program with a very special deal. You're going to get a queen-size MyPillow for just $19.98, regular price $69.98. Folks, that's a pretty awesome deal, especially with the way the economy's going these days. So a queen-size MyPillow for just $19.98. You're going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the bed sheets, mattress toppers, and My Slippers. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use my last name. That's the promo code, and that will activate all of the great savings. Again, MyPillow.com/Starnes, promo code Starnes. All right, hang tight, folks. It is Open Line Friday. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program on this Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Troy, listening to us on WSIC in beautiful North Carolina. Hi, Troy, what's on your mind today?
Todd, I was coming out of California when 9/11 happened, and I stopped in a truck stop, and everybody was glued to the television in the trucker's lounge. And no one was at the cash register. So I knew something was wrong when I first approached the building when nobody was around and everybody was glued to the television and we all were watching in shock. So like the preacher said before I called in, we need to come together, united, one nation under one God. And all the American flags were flown shortly thereafter, 9/11. Including myself, and I still fly mine to this day. I have thought about flying it upside down in the sign of distress because that's what we're in right now. That's the state we're in. But no, I'm going to keep my pride and fly it like right and shine a light on it at night. But anyway, it's just something that we all need to come together on, and we've lost sight of it for sure, just like a lot of things. And hopefully we can get Mr. Donald Trump back in office to help us get things back in line as far as politics go. But as the preacher says, we need to come together as individuals, as human beings, and be under God. Because God is the only one that's going to keep us in grace.
Well said. Well said, Troy. And I appreciate the call. Sorry for that bit of a phone hiccup there, but I think it's very well said. And again, folks, the Democrats want to keep us divided. They want us at each other's throats, right? And because in the chaos of the moment, they're going to be able to do whatever they're going to do to drive us towards socialism. That's what this is really all about. It's unbelievable. All right. Got a question for you. And by the, and this is fascinating stuff. There is a there's a mom out there, and she's on TikTok, and she gave her son some guidelines on going back to school. Do you guys ever do this? I've often wondered how many parents are actually raising their kids these days, and I say that because there are a lot of juvenile delinquents out there. I mean, in Memphis, Tennessee, it's crazy. It's insane. As a matter of fact, we were actually having a conversation. I know this is kind of a crazy conversation to have, but it's true. Would you rather be robbed at gunpoint by a grown adult or a child? And I'm always going with the grown adult because the adults just want your money, your wallet, by and large. They just want your money. They want your wallet. They want your keys. And if you turn it over to the bad guy, they're probably not going to shoot you. But those little kids, the little thuglings, they don't care. As a matter of fact, they would probably just shoot you so they could watch you die. I mean, we are raising, there is a generation being raised that has no soul. They have no moral compass at all. And so it's really encouraging when I see a mom decide, hey, we're going to set up some guidelines here. And I want you to listen to this mom. She's pretty awesome. She's gone viral now, and a lot of people say, yeah, this is the kind of parenting we need in America. Cut three.
So I just got the notice that my son's school starts up in a few weeks, and now it's time for me to pull out the PowerPoint presentation on how the rules for back to school are going to go. Again, don't know if anybody else does this. This is just me. It is also entitled, What We Not Gonna Do, because this ain't that. What we not gonna do is change up our stomach energy. You've been living on a diet of hot chips, chicken nuggets, and every popsicle and disgusting drink known to man without one stomach ache. You're not about to come to me talking about my stomach hurt like you got the intestinal tract of a geriatric Crohn's patient. This ain't that. What we not gonna do is act like we can't wake up. You've been getting up at 6:77 every morning. And yes, I said 6:77 because of some ungodly hour that doesn't exist. Asking me about some breakfast. This ain't that. What we not gonna do is not prepare our clothes and our items for the next day, the day before. I'm not about to have a slight heart attack trying to rush us out the door to get you in time for the bus. This ain't that. What we not gonna do is act like you ran out of supplies after the second day of school. I literally just spent $75,000 making sure everything on that list was there. You're not about to keep losing everything. This ain't that. What we not gonna do is tell me about reports, permission slips, and picture day packets the day before they're due. I'm not about to get my blood pressure up running around here to get all of these supplies or find an outfit or do a project into the wee hours of the morning. This ain't that. What we not gonna do is complain about the lunches that are packed for you. Literally took you to the store and asked you if every separate item was okay, but then when I put it together in a lunch that's nutritious, now all of a sudden it's trash. This ain't that. What we not gonna do is as soon as we get home, you asking me 55 times is dinner ready. I told you to eat the lunch that I provided that you told me was okay, but now it's trash. This ain't that. What we not about to do is let me know you still here. This ain't that.
Oh, well, there you go. Good for you, Mom. You know, I'm curious, Ben Dieter, when Mother Dieter was raising you, did she lay down the law? Did Mother Dieter say, okay, these are the rules, you're going to abide by these rules, and if you don't, there's going to be you know what to pay?
She did, Todd, until she broke her hand, and then that left it only to time out in the corner. So I didn't get spankings much after that, but she did. She really did rule the home, but my dad was the enforcer of the laws. Everybody has a different dynamic. Either the mom's more, you know, lays down the law, or the dad. In my case, it was the dad, though.
Oh, yeah. Look, mom was the enforcer back when I was a little Starnes. And the concern I always had, and being from a small town, South Haven, Mississippi at the time was a very small town. And I'll never forget when the first McDonald's opened up in South Haven. You know, that was like a foreign concept. We were so excited to get the very first McDonald's in our town. This was back in the 1970s. And I'll never forget, Dieter, I'd not been doing well in reading class. And at the time, they didn't realize I needed glasses. But at that point, I was just not doing well. Mm-hmm. And Mom and Dad took me to McDonald's to get my very first, like, little hamburger. And I'll never forget, my third grade reading teacher was there, Mrs. Folk. And her husband owned Honey Fluff Donuts, which was the great donut shop in town in South Haven. And Mrs. Folk comes over, and, you know, I'm sitting there eating my hamburger and my little French fries, and I had a milkshake. And I'll never forget Mrs. Folk coming over and saying, Mrs. Starnes, it's so good to see you here. Todd needs to do a better job in reading class. And I froze. Mm-hmm. I was like mid-bite, and I thought, oh, boy, this is not going to be good. Thank you, Mrs. Folk. Appreciate you interrupting McDonald's grand opening to talk about my – thank you for ratting me out.
Did you get in trouble?
I got in trouble. So again, it's this idea of, you know, the teachers back in the day were like in cahoots with the parents. So these days – the parents think their children are like God's gift to humanity, and the teachers are always wrong. But back when I was growing up, the teachers and the parents were kind of like working together. They knew that we could be little hellions.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, Todd, would actually go to the principal of the school every single day, either pick up the phone or go into their office and say, I want to report, how was my son today?
Wow, how bad were you?
I was awful. And I remember one time my elementary teacher, her name was Miss Bickle, PTSD there. She comes to the meeting to meet my dad after the school, getting ready to give the report. And she walked in with a paddle. And my dad said, why do you have the paddle, Miss Bickle? And she gave the report to my dad holding the paddle. I ended up getting spanked right there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow. So our rule was, if you got it at school, you would get it at home. That was the rule.
The double whammy.
The double whammy. And you always, look, the problem was, we had a no-nonsense principal at Hope P. Sullivan Elementary School. We had a no-nonsense principal. Very nice person. But he laid down the law. And he would have a paddle that had these holes drilled in the paddle, so you didn't get that cushion of air right before it makes contact with the buttocks. And so because of that, you know, you've got the air whooshing through it, and so you get the full force of the paddle. It was very unpleasant.
You know, if they tried that today, Todd, that principal, those teachers, they would be hauled into 201 Poplar.
They'd be in jail.
Mm-hmm. And you'd be on trial. You'd be testifying against the teacher, which I'm sure you as a young kid would love.
They just attacked me for no reason at all. I was such a good child.
Prosecute her.
Wow. It's true. So good for this mom. I think we need more moms like that, laying down the law. And again, folks, you are parents. You're not supposed to be your child's best friend, right? You are a parent. Your job is to raise that child so they don't grow up to be a problem for the rest of us. And Lord knows there's a lot of problems walking around right now. All right, got to take a break. This is Open Line Friday. So whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about today. Coming up, we're going to have a conversation with a Georgia State Senator. He is enraged over the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp. And Brian Kemp is now doubling down, and he says he is not going to go after the district attorney down there, Big Fannie Willis, and he's going to turn a blind eye as she tries to destroy Donald Trump. So your governor, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Georgia, do you really think this guy's a conservative? 844-747-8868. That's our number. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up, I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. I want to play some audio. This is Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, and he's weighing in on Big Fannie Willis and the fight over whether or not she should be impeached and removed from office. Let's take a listen.
I did want to take just a few minutes to speak to some history that's trying to repeat itself over the last few days here in Georgia. Many of you will recall that in the final weeks of 2020, I clearly and repeatedly said that I would not be calling a special session of the General Assembly to overturn the 2020 election results because such an action would have been unconstitutional. It was that simple. Fast forward today, nearly 3 years later, memories are fading fast. There have been calls by one individual in the General Assembly and echoed outside of these walls by the former president for a special session that would ignore current Georgia law and directly interfere with the proceedings of a separate but equal branch of government. Up to this point, I have not seen any evidence that D.A. Willis's actions or lack thereof warrant action by the Prosecuting Attorney Oversight Commission. But that will ultimately be a decision that the commission will make. Regardless, in my mind, a special session of the General Assembly to end run around this law is not feasible and may ultimately prove to be unconstitutional. The bottom line is that in the state of Georgia, as long as I'm governor, we're going to follow the law and the Constitution, regardless of who it helps or harms politically. Over the last few years, some inside and outside of this building may have forgotten that, but I can assure you, I have not. The oath I took with my hand on the Bible that's right behind me in January of 23 is the same Bible that I took in my inauguration in 2019. And in Georgia, we will not be engaging in political theater that only inflames the emotions of the moment. We will do what is right. We will uphold our oaths as public servants. And it's my belief that our state will be better off for it.
So let me explain why the Republicans will always lose if they keep electing people like Brian Kemp. Nice enough guy, seems to have done a pretty good job. I mean, the guy got reelected, and you folks listening to us in Georgia can attest to whether or not the guy has done an effective job governing, but he did enough to get himself reelected. But the problem here is that Brian Kemp does not have the courage to fight a fight that needs to be fought. That's the problem. We're seeing this happen in Congress right now, where, and I really do hope that Jim Jordan is right, and we are going to get around to impeachment. But if you listen to Matt Gaetz, he's not all that convinced. And Matt Gaetz is prepared to go nuclear and remove Kevin McCarthy from the speakership if somebody in the Biden administration, specifically Joe Biden, is not impeached. But the Republicans just don't have the stomach for a fight like that. By and large, they would rather be perpetual victims than stand up and fight the bullies. And it's sad, but this is the reality of where we're at. And that's why Brian Kemp did what he did. If you listen to the speech, Brian Kemp acknowledges, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going down here that doesn't seem right. But he is not willing to take on Big Fanny. And the reason why he doesn't want to take on Big Fanny is because he's concerned that he might be called a racist. Sorry, I just wanted to go ahead and get that out there. I mean, I know it's not, it's impolite to say that in public, but it's true. So that's why the Republicans get horrified. Anytime someone mentions race, it's all over. And the Democrats know this. They know that the Republicans, that's their kryptonite. All you have to do is accuse a Republican of being a racist, and boom, they surrender. I'll give you an example. We have a guy in here in Memphis. His name is Dr. Jeff Warren. He is a city councilman. They had a big meeting yesterday on crime. And this guy, Dr. Warren, he kind of reminds me of one of those Muppet Show. We've got the audio here. Let's play this audio. He's explaining why we have a crime problem.
We know that there are base causes of our crime problem now. We have poverty. We have the residual of, industrial slavery that is still here present in our community generations later.
He reminds me of the who was the bald scientist on the Muppet Show?
We really have to deal with slavery here in Memphis. And I really, it's industrial slavery.
So this guy seems to think that we still have slaves in Memphis, and I'm fairly certain we don't. If we do, this would be breaking news, and, well, we would have to fight another war, right? But to my knowledge, we do not have slaves. No one has a slave in Memphis, Tennessee. Aside from the taxpayers who are being forced to go to work, and then the government takes their hard-earned money and they give it to people who sit on their butts all day. I mean, I guess that could be a form of slavery.
No, this isn't what I'm talking about, Ted. No, this is slavery. That's why people carjack. If we didn't have slaves, people wouldn't carjack.
Oh, geez, Luke. By the way, this guy, he's like a medical doctor, so he was like leading the charge to get all of us to wear face diapers. He's like a masked Nazi on top of being an idiot wrapped in a moron. All right, got to take a break here. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
You're not a moron, Todd. Yeah.
Hi, this is Jay Sekulow. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you've told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. This month, we're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attacks on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack from within, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, and help us fight to literally save lives. Go to ACLJ.org right now and join us in the fight.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, happy Friday to you, America. Wow. It's a long weekend. A lot of people on the road heading out for Labor Day. And we're so happy that you've decided to hang out with us. By the way, today, Open Line Friday. And that means every Friday, you're able to call in. And whatever you want to talk about, we will talk about today. Our telephone number is 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So we've been talking about this situation in Georgia, where Republican lawmakers at the state capitol want to take action to stop Big Fannie Willis, the district attorney, from going after Donald Trump. And they want to hold her accountable for some of the things that she has been doing and saying that lead me to believe there's no way that Trump is going to get a fair trial. So I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us back again on the program, State Senator Colton Moore, and he is also the vice chairman of the Georgia Freedom Caucus. Senator, good to have you back with us today.
Todd, thanks for having me back on. Great to be here.
So I wanted to get your reaction to the governor yesterday, Brian Kemp, and he said, yeah, there's a lot of really weird stuff going down, but I'm not going to get involved.
You know, I think the governor, he's responsible for this entire mess. Right. I mean, he was the Secretary of State. He was in charge of our elections. He's been at it for 12 years. He's the governor who certified our election results after 19 days. So, you know, if a governor had certified those election results 19 hours later, you know, he might have something to stand on. But it took him 19 days to certify the election results. There were 40,000. Let me repeat that. 40,000 affidavits by citizens all across Georgia that signed at the threat of perjury, signed with the risk of going to jail if they were caught lying, that said they saw some type of election fraud. And now we've got a president of the United States and 18 others who were expressing their First Amendment rights to question the integrity of an election are now being taken political prisoner. And for this governor to say that it's his constitutional role to stay out of it, I don't know if he's ever read the Constitution. Because the First Amendment clearly gives any person and any American an opportunity to petition the government, to speak freely and question the integrity of an election and not have to worry about being taken political prisoner. Todd, some of my fellow senators are reluctant to speak out against the constitutional crisis we are in. They say, I don't know, I don't want to get involved, I don't want to be held for obstruction of justice. Well, there is no justice, it's nothing but injustice, and these senators who represent 200,000 people, who have to question in their head whether they are going to represent their people or whether they are going to face peril from a rogue district attorney, makes a very dire situation here in Georgia today.
Well, it is just mind-boggling, and yet I believe this is symptomatic of what we're dealing with on the national level with a lot of the Republicans on Capitol Hill saying, you know what, we know that Biden's done awful things and Hunter's done terrible things and Mayorkas and Merrick Garland, but we're just going to give them all a pass.
You know, that's certainly the way it seems. When it comes to Fani Willis, it's frankly very embarrassing for the Georgia legislature when you've got Representative Andy Biggs and Representative Jim Jordan, who are pressing forward with investigating Fani Willis and potentially defunding her of federal dollars. You know, we don't even know how much right now the federal money that's being poured into her office for her to hire additional attorneys. I saw a report last night. One law firm's already been handed over $500,000, and it's all to focus on Donald Trump and these 18 others indicted.
It's,
you know,
insane.
Meanwhile, there's no justice for crime victims in Atlanta. Half of the people in the jail have yet to be charged with a crime. We just had somebody else die in the Fulton County Jail. You know, 3 months ago or so, a gentleman who had yet to go to trial, who was trying to get his bond lowered so he could get out of jail, dies of bed bugs. What a terrible way to go.
Wait, he died of bed bugs?
Yes. Yeah, the bed bugs ate him alive in the Fulton County Jail. Those are the dire conditions.
Oh, my God.
We have Eighth Amendment violations here in Atlanta. And, you know, crime continues to go up. This district attorney is not doing her constitutional job of solving justice for crime victims. You know, she's not punishing the criminals. Instead, she is taking on political prisoners and has chilled the voice of many of my fellow Republicans from calling her out. You know, I'm very proud to represent about 200,000 people in North Georgia, and the people that I represent, Todd, they don't want their tax dollars funding Fani Willis, and that's why I'm pushing so hard for this special session, with line item number one being defund her of Georgia tax dollars. Now, the governor alluded to my argument and said, well, he didn't think constitutionally we could fully defund her. Well, that's fine. Let's give her $1. But my constituents don't want to fund anymore.
Senator, I want to talk about, we call her Big Fanny Willis here on this program, but I want to talk about the district attorney for just a moment. Have you guys been able to uncover, the evidence that she has been going after Trump? She's been talking about this in private. She's been sharing social media feeds. What kind of evidence do you have on her?
Well, that's the problem. Until we can get into a special session, we as legislators can't launch into an investigation. And that's the push now. We're just trying to get to step one, calling the special session. You know, the governor could call the special session right now if he wanted to, but it's evident after yesterday he doesn't want to do that. But we've got subpoena authority in the legislature. I mean, any high school kid coming out of government class understands that we've got three branches of government, and our legislative duty is to provide oversight on judicial and executive officers like Fani Willis. And we need to be subpoenaing a lot of things. I mean, the fact that the indictment came out hours before the jury ever concluded leads one to believe that potentially there was some judge shopping going on, trying to pick the next judge that was going to yield in one favor or the other. So, you know, how much coordination has she had with the Department of Justice? Realize that one of the indicted actually worked for the Department of Justice and is being charged for making false claims. I mean, the people she's going after, she even wants to go after our number two, our lieutenant governor. One of my fellow state senators is being indicted. And, you know, if Stacey Abrams was governor right now, he would have already been plucked from his duty as a senator just because of the charges that he's facing right now, upwards of life in prison.
Are you surprised that Governor Kemp did what he did? Help us understand that, because he seems like a good guy. I mean, he was certainly reelected, seems to be very popular there. What's his deal?
Well, I tell you what, I was one of his biggest supporters from the very beginning. And I think he's an absolute disgrace to the entire situation. I don't know. You know, I feel like we're almost in a Nazi Germany type situation. You know, first they come after your enemies and you don't say anything because they're your enemies. And I kind of think that's where the governor is right now. He looks at Donald Trump as an enemy, so he really doesn't care. But then they come after your friends, Todd. And I feel like that's where we are as a legislature right now. One of my fellow senators being indicted. And we've seen what they're doing to our enemies, so we're too afraid to say anything for our friends. But, Todd, eventually they come for you, and at that point there's no one left to speak for you, and that's why it's so important that we push so hard here in Georgia to nip this in the bud right away.
Well, I'm glad you're doing it, and I know it's an uphill battle for you, Senator. Are you getting other Republicans to go on the record, or are they still a little nervous?
Well, I tell you what, I just got off the phone with a senator who's taken a lot of heat. He told me, you know, he tried to go to the ball field last night with his kids and he was being accosted by his constituents, were his words to me. And, you know, it's just do your job as a senator, you know, be accountable to your constituents. Remember that you represent those people at the ball field. You don't represent the governor in his office. So, you know, the pressure is mounting here in Georgia. You know, I've already heard of many people expressing an urge to primary their representative and their senator. We might have a big turnover here in the legislature. People are burning these phones up. I mean, they're calling left and right, trying to convince their legislator to take a stand. But every legislator is just pointing at every excuse not to do anything.
Wow. Just I wish I could say I was shocked, but I am not. But Senator, we appreciate you standing firm, and let's see what happens here. We appreciate you coming on the show today.
Todd, absolutely. Any of your listeners in Georgia, I would just encourage them to double down, continue that pressure on those legislators, and just remind them that they have a choice. If they stand up for the rule of law, they'll call this out and ask for a special session. But if they don't stand up, then they're just letting Fani Willis get by with what she's doing. And for your listeners listening outside of Georgia, I would just encourage you to go to my website, ColtonMoore.com/emergency, and you can learn more information there.
All right.
Todd, I appreciate you.
You got it. All right. State Senator Colton Moore from Georgia. And, man, is he fighting an uphill battle. You know, here in Tennessee, we've got a Republican governor. What a squish. His name is Bill Lee, and he called a special session to try and stage a gun grab. Fortunately, we have enough Republicans in Tennessee that know that's a really lousy idea. So they were able to stop that from happening. But it's a mess. It's a mess. All right. I got a question for you. I was watching a video yesterday. Tucker Carlson had Dave Portnoy on his Twitter show, his X show. And Portnoy was the founder of Barstool Sports. Have any of you guys seen the video yet? So Dieter's seen the video. Dieter, I'm anxious to hear your thoughts. Let me set the stage. So you've got Portnoy was going. He likes to review the pizzas, right? So he went into a pizza joint, and we were going to play the audio, but it would have taken Dylan probably 2 or 3 hours to remove all the filthy language. So anyway. Portnoy is standing outside the restaurant. He's eating the cheese pizza, and he's giving it a horrible review. Portnoy says, I don't know how long it's been sitting there. I'm going to be honest, it looked better in the case. It looked more well done in the case than this one. He said the pizza was very thin, a floppy mess, and the Parmesan was too strong. Now, the owner of the restaurant is coming outside, and he realizes what Portnoy is doing in front of his pizza joint. And the guy says, Dave, enjoy your pizza as any customer, but I don't appreciate what you do coming in and judging a business with one bite. So Portnoy says, wait a second. Oh, is this your restaurant? He says, yes. And the guy says, I hope you enjoy your pizza, but I don't appreciate what you do to small businesses. Portnoy says, I help small businesses. The owner said, I don't see it that way. And the guy says, let me be a little clearer. Move on. Don't stand in front of my business. And then Portnoy just loses it on the guy. And then Portnoy snaps back, let me be clear, blank you. And the owner said, let me be clear. Get the blank out of the front of my business. Then Portnoy went back, blank you, blank you, blank you. It's a public street, you mother blanker. I'm telling you, it was a lot of bad language. So they're trading barbs, and then Portnoy calls the owner a fatso. And so Tucker is relating. He's playing this on the video on Tucker's show. And then Tucker is siding with Portnoy, and they're both laughing and making fun of the pizza joint owner, who's just a small businessman who was wearing a T-shirt that was probably about four sizes too small. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is. And so Portnoy says, when you throw the first punch, I want to bury you. Well, wait a second. I think Portnoy threw the first punch here. So anyway, Dieter, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Well, who was in the right?
I think Dave Portnoy was, only because this, I believe, was in Massachusetts. This was like one of the woke guys. They wear the mask, all of that. And that's not Dave Portnoy's brand. I watched the video, and my thought on all of this is, if, God forbid, the Democratic Party runs Michelle Obama, they somehow get Joe Biden to walk away, may he rest in peace, we have to run Dave Portnoy on some ticket. Trump as president, Dave Portnoy VP.
Why?
They already call the guy president, like actually president.
I think that Portnoy was being a jerk.
I do not, because listen, do you know what they say? Bad press is still good press. Is that it? I don't know. You get the point.
No, he called the guy a fatso.
Guess who's talking about that man's terrible, terrible pizza shop? The whole country. And that's because Dave Portnoy caused drama outside of his business. That was the best thing that could have ever have happened to that pizza owner. And the pizza looked disgusting, by the way.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it looked like a pizza. The guy's from Massachusetts. What, they don't even know how to fry fish up there. And so they may not know how to make a pizza.
I mean, I disagree with you, Todd. I mean, the woke pizza owner, they called for defunding the police, and Tucker made this point. Yet the guy, the pizza owner, said, I'm going to call the police to remove you from my property.
Wait, the pizza owner said that? That wasn't in the story I read.
That was in the Tucker exclusive.
I don't watch Tucker. Maybe I should.
It is a weird format. I don't watch much on X, to be honest. But it was explosive.
I don't think the guy was that big of a fatso. He was just wearing a bad T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Was that like a Star Wars T-shirt?
It was a Star Wars T-shirt. And Dave Portnoy is a huge Star Wars fan. But just not a fan when it says, you know.
So how does this work? So Portnoy goes and does all these pizza interviews.
It would be like, Todd, if you went to every barbecue joint in the Mid-South region. All of Georgia, Alabama, you name it. South Carolina, Memphis, all of these places, and you tasted people's barbecue, and then you got on your True Social and did a review. That's the equivalent, maybe you should start doing.
No, I'm not going to do that. I already have enough enemies on the left. I don't want to tick off any barbecue joint people. I saw fried green tomatoes. All right, got to take a break here. So Dieter says Portnoy did the right thing by cussing out the guy and mocking him for being a fatty. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Here is a real Balance of Nature customer sharing a real success story.
On the field, we have to be in shape to be able to run very quickly. Balance of Nature gets me through that so much easier.
I believe Balance of Nature works because I've seen it work. There has been a change in my workouts, so I recommend it for everybody.
Get 40% off your first order using discount code REAL. This Labor Day offer ends September 5th. Go to balanceofnature.com, code REAL, for 40% off.
All right, folks, Newsmax is conducting an urgent national poll. By the way, today I will be guest hosting the Chris Salcedo Show, so you got to watch. That's coming up at 4 o'clock Eastern today, so would love for you to be a part of that TV program. Newsmax, though, conducting an urgent national poll, and they want to know if you still support Donald Trump. It's really a simple question, an important question. You can vote in the Newsmax poll right now by texting the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. It takes just a minute to let your voice be heard. Text SKIP to 39747. Folks, we're going to share the results of the poll with Congress and also on Newsmax, which is America's fastest growing cable news channel. They're crushing it. You can find Newsmax on all major cable systems. Millions of people making the switch, and you should too by texting SKIP to 39747. All right, coming up, we're going right to the phone lines. So if you want to get in on the action, give us a call right now, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And folks, if you haven't done so, I know it's Friday, it's Labor Day, getting ready for the long weekend. You got the hot dogs, you got the hamburgers. Why don't you download our newsletter and our podcast, right? They're free of charge and great resources as we head into what's going to be an insane political season. And we want you to be a part of all of the festivities. ToddStearns.com, and you can download the podcast and the newsletter free of charge. We'll be right back, folks.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
Where's Dieter at? By the way, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Good to have you with us on this Friday edition. So there's an interesting story. I know, Dieter, you've been to the concerts. You like to go to these concerts. You're sort of like our cultural attaché of the Todd Stearns radio program. I'm rather intrigued by this story that involves two redneck women in cowboy boots fighting over a porta potty at a country music concert in a place called Beaver County. There's a lot to unravel there.
It's not lost on me, the name of that county.
So, okay, turn your microphone off now. Actually, it happened in your hometown. That's why I'm rather shocked by this.
I didn't live in Beaver County.
No, but it's in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Is Pittsburgh in Beaver County?
Beaver County is right there. Yeah.
Oh,
wow. West Pennsylvania. Ben from Beaver.
You see, Dieter from Beaver. Okay. This happened. Is it Morgan Whalen? Is that the country? Whalen Jennings, Morgan Whalen. So several women, there's a video going viral, and I don't know if you've seen this video, but the women are, one of them is wearing Daisy Dukes, blue jean cutoffs, and cowboy boots. And the other is wearing short shorts and cowboy boots. And I guess they really had to go to the bathroom. So the women were fighting in front of these porta potties. And what I thought was interesting is the porta potties are all pink. Normally they're green. So I'm not sure. Maybe that's to signify they're for the gals. Anyway, there's a guy by the name of Scott Tatey, who is a writer with the Beaver County Times, and he wrote an editorial. He wrote a review. I didn't know they had, apparently it's a very popular newspaper. Anyway, he said that the concert did not move the needle, but Morgan Whalen gives a packed PNC Park crowd what it craved, talking about his voice and all that kind of stuff. But the real show was the long line of portable toilets and what started as a verbal altercation that turned into an all-out fracas. I mean, this was, you don't have those very often. And it drew several more spectators. So apparently it was more than just the two women, and they were fighting. I love the description here, and it's very graphic, Mr. Dieter, there in Beaver County. According to the Beaver County Times, the scene opens with two women arguing in front of a United Site Services toilet with a tattooed hair-beaded woman throwing a straw over her shoulder. The straw appears to have been taken from another woman who sports what appears to be a white macrame cover-up. They begin jawing each other's faces and escalate to shoving. My goodness.
I mean, my Gosh, classless.
Credit cards, jingle change, and other purse contents go flying everywhere as the action spills over to the last toilet in the row, and a black-hatted bystander who is exiting the stall is stunned by the melee. The two women go crashing into the stall as the bystander gets out, and then two other women enter the stall. How many people can you fit inside those things? Two other women enter the stall to join the fight as a gentleman, and the crowd screams, "Yeah, baby!" Must have been one heck of a scene out there.
They're both... The porta-pots are like the size of a mailbox. How are they both inside of it is my question.
It's hard to say.
And then throwing fists at each other?
Yeah, it's a fair point, fair question. Anyway, apparently there were three separate angles of the fight, so it was videoed. They called it the porta-potty war. And man, oh man, it's ugly. So anyway, two lily white girls going at it in front of the pink porta-johns.
I would have given that woman a swirly so fast in that porta-john. She wouldn't have known what was coming.
Yeah, they're all in there, and it's good stuff. So there you go. Lots of fun at the Pittsburgh Morgan Wallen concert. I hope somebody flushed. Let's go to Fred, WDUN. He wants to talk about Brian Kemp. Hi, Fred. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. How's it going? I just want a little comparison I want you to make. You know, when Kemp got elected governor and was running against Stacey, he only won by a few thousand votes, and Stacey has never admitted that she's lost because the ballots that were thrown out, Ratzenberger did not count them. There was like 3,500 of them. He claimed that they couldn't match him up to anyone. Are you still with me?
I'm listening intently, Fred.
I'm sorry. I heard something in the background. And what I'm wanting you to do is, you know, Ratzenberger counted the ballots that were, did not count the ballots that were thrown out. He claimed they couldn't match them up to anyone. And usually, you know, Ty, when a machine throws a ballot out, it usually means there's something wrong with it. Okay. So there was 14,500 ballots that were tossed out in the Trump election. And in the middle of the night, they decide he's going to count all of them. And that's the reason why Trump lost by 11,500 ballots. Now, are we supposed to be led to believe that they checked those ballots like they claimed they did in the governor's race? You know, I just find it a little bit of a comparison there. You know, a machine threw out ballots in the governor's race and he didn't count. A machine threw out ballots in the presidential race and he counts every one of them. And, I just think there needs to be some kind of investigation. I think Kemp and Ratzenberger are as crooked as 10 miles of bad road. They know what went on in Georgia during the election, and they're trying to cover it up. I also think Kemp is afraid of Fannie. He's a terrible governor. You know, he didn't stand up for Georgia during the All-Star game that cost hundreds of millions of dollars in jobs. You know, he lets these Hollywood people come over here and work tax-free. You know, where was he at when Black Lives Matter were burning private businesses down and an 8-year-old girl was shot and killed? You know, where was he at then? You know, he sells our state out to Chinese and Korean companies. You know, he has a lot of personal interest in China. You know, he has a lot of personal business. I actually believe that's the reason they didn't want Trump to win.
Well, that was a big part of it, Fred. I mean, when you look at what was happening and the dynamics happening leading into the 2020 presidential election, China was really beginning to suffer as a result of the crackdowns that Trump had put into place. And again, it's ludicrous. And if you remember back during that time, when Trump, for example, was saying it's outrageous that we have to rely on China for some of the basic medicines that the American people need. It's outrageous that we are outsourcing all of these jobs when they need to be right here in the United States of America. So, yeah, I think there was, you know, when you look at the election and the shenanigans that went on, you better believe China had a good reason to get involved and to make sure that Donald Trump got booted from office. But to your point about Brian Kemp, yeah, I do believe he is terrified of being called a racist, and the man simply will not stand up and do the right thing. And he's demonstrated that time and time again. Fred, got to run. Good call. And great. It's a great insight there. All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868 on this Open Line Friday. I am not ashamed to admit that I'll pay a little bit extra for convenience. So if you can show me how to simplify, I don't know, some area of my life or save time, I'm all in and I will gladly pay a little bit extra. But if you give me convenience and save me money, hey, I'm all in. And that's why I take Balance of Nature. Look, they took all the guesswork out of getting the right nutrition by providing me with a daily dose of 31 whole fruits and veggies in a capsule form. And when I did the math, it would cost, and you know, and again, I ran the numbers about what it would cost to buy and prepare all of the fruit, all of the vegetables every day. And that's why I love Balance of Nature. For a fraction of the cost, I take Balance of Nature. It is convenient and it is so economical. So I want to encourage you to order today using my special code and get a startup discount. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and get 35% off your first preferred order. That's 800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get 35% off by using the discount code Todd. That's discount code Todd. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Happy to have you with us. So here's a headline from TheBlaze.com. That's Glenn Beck's operation. Tucker Carlson agrees 100% with Dave Portnoy that Biden and Trump are too old to be president. And he also takes a shot at Mitch McConnell. Tucker Carlson's interview with Portnoy was released yesterday, and we talked a little bit about the pizza guy. But he says he agrees 100% that President Biden and former President Trump are too old to be president. What about you, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe that to be the case? Do you believe that President Trump is too old? I mean, it's sort of like night and day difference between those two. Trump looks pretty good. He's energetic. He's out there. He seems to have control of his faculties. He can complete a sentence. He actually knows how to walk up a set of stairs. And he eats solid food. So, I mean, if you ask me, Trump is a pretty healthy guy. But again, there are people out there, and Tucker Carlson seems to be one of them, who says, yeah, Trump is just too old. Tucker says, if I'm being honest, totally honest, and he was talking about Trump, talking about the debates. And by the way, yesterday, Trump made headlines on our show when he said, yeah, you know, he might consider doing a debate. And I think he should. Just to put all the rumors that he's too old, too out of shape, just shove those aside. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe, like, do you agree with Tucker? Do you agree with Dave Portnoy that Trump is too old to be running for president? 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. Meanwhile, Nikki Haley has some thoughts about Mitch McConnell, cut number 8.
It's sad. No one should feel good about seeing that. You know, any more than we should feel good about seeing Dianne Feinstein, any more than we should feel good about a lot of what's happening or seeing Joe Biden's decline. What I will say is right now the Senate is the most privileged nursing home in the country. I mean, you know, Mitch McConnell has done some great things and he deserves credit, but you have to know when to leave. That is why I'm strongly in support of term limits in this country. I think that we do need mental competency tests for anyone over the age of 75. I wouldn't care if they did them over the age of 50, but these are people making decisions on our national security. They're making decisions on our economy, on the border. We need to know they're at the top of their game. You can't say that right now looking at Congress.
Well, she's not wrong. I will say this. I agree with her. I like this idea that if you're over 70, 75, you need to take a competency test. I've got no problem with that. That's a good idea. I guarantee you Trump would pass it. You really think Biden would pass something like that? I don't think so. I don't believe so. But you're telling me that Dianne Feinstein is competent enough to cast a vote, an educated vote on an issue? There's no way. You think Fetterneck? You think Fetterneck is capable? I don't think so. But again, I mean, it's, you know, I know everybody loves to put their faith in people like Tucker Carlson and all these others. Then they come out with this kind of stuff and you really start to wonder. Let's go to Clarksville, Georgia. Whoops, we just lost Mary Lou. Give us a call back. But I'm telling you, it's this is not an issue of age. This is an issue of whether or not your brain is functioning. And for whatever reason, Biden has been through the ringer and the guy's just not competent. But I don't think you can put Biden and Trump in the same sentence when it comes to competency. I just don't believe you could do that. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Robert in Jackson, Tennessee. Robert, what say you?
Well, I can't believe Tucker said it. I thought Tucker was a little bit more, had more of a spine. But Biden, I had a mother and a grandmother who had Alzheimer's or dementia. My mother wasted away, but she had those early signs that Biden has of the shuffle and confusion and not sure what she did yesterday and today. And Trump, you know, now, I think you said you lived in New York, worked for Fox. You know, people in New York, New Jersey, they're just like Trump. When you insult him, he throws it back at you. But that's not a mental problem. That's a cultural problem of that area of the country. And Trump is still very sharp. And there's a difference of daylight and darkness between the two of them physically and mentally. And I think Trump is as qualified as he ever was.
Oh, I have no doubt about it, Robert. I saw some video of him out on the golf course. And this did not get much attention in the media. But he was throwing around a golf ball. He was doing some things with the clubs that clearly showed me that he still got it. And you know how it is, Robert. I mean, there are some people that live to be 100 years old, and they are healthy, and they are vibrant. They're active. They get out there, and then all of a sudden, you know, they after 100, 102 years old, they just die. Meanwhile, you've got some folks that are 70 years old, 75 years old, and unfortunately, they look like Joe Biden, where they just, for whatever reason, their minds, their brains stopped functioning. And, you know, it's sad. But, again, that's why I think having a competency test, I got no problem with that. I suspect a lot of people in Congress would fail it, though, Robert.
Can I mention something about Mitch McConnell?
Real quick.
I want to compare him to Obama real quick. You know, many times Obama got before a microphone, and when he's not scripted with a teleprompter, he'd go to, and people mentioned his stutter. And the people who were offended on the screaming liberals, you know, they said, well, that is just an intellectual pause. So apparently that's what Mitch has got. Mitch has got an intellectual pause. But it's a double standard like everything else.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. Robert, no doubt about that. Appreciate the call. That's right. You know, Obama, I forgot about that. But back in the day, Obama would give these great speeches. And, I mean, they were delivered. You know, he can. But again, it was all acting. Because when you asked him to come up with a thought on his own, that was crazy. It was like, whoa, what happened there? So there you go. Great speech writers, but not so much good on your own. It's like the Hollywood actors. You know, if it's not scripted, they're morons, and they sound like it. It's really unfortunate, but what are you going to do? All right, folks, coming up, we are going to replay our great interview with President Trump from yesterday. A lot of folks missed that interview, so we're going to replay that interview with President Trump. And it was pretty powerful, to be honest with you. And his command over the issues, again, you're gonna hear it for yourself. And we will play that. You'll also be able to download that over at toddstearns.com. Just check out our free newsletter and podcast over on the website. By the way, don't forget tonight or this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern, I'll be hosting on Newsmax, filling in for Chris Salcedo. All right, stick around, everybody.